Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. Lima, take it away. It's your day. This is a Lima day.
I'm happy. I'm really happy. My team won the national championship.
All right, on to the Browns. Yes. 216-47. No, I'm kidding. You got, come on, man. You ain't gonna whoop it up.
I was whooping it up last night.
So you're up on the show
pretty,
this morning?
Pretty damn late
when
into the night.
Everybody wants to hear you whooping it up.
Was ecstatic. Was wondering how in the world that game was even close in the fourth quarter.
But I still didn't feel it was that close. I really didn't. I didn't. I figured I didn't see a 50-some-odd yard pass for Jeremiah Smith. I didn't see that one coming.
No, they needed that. If they don't convert that third down, I think we could be having a very different show today.
I don't know. No,
because Notre Dame all of a sudden found their passing attack. They couldn't throw the ball further than 3 yards down the field the entire game until they needed to, and then they were doing it at will.
I understand what you're saying, but I never felt it to be I never felt it to be even in doubt. I really didn't.
I thought it was going to be a total blowout in the second quarter.
Oh, I did too.
I thought this thing was going to be. I mean, definitely Ohio State haters are texting me like, once you know Ohio State's going to win, you start getting salty about things. And I was getting texts from people we know going, no one's going to watch this second half. Ratings are going to be abysmal. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to watch. It's my team winning the national championship.
Well, in a lot of ways, you do care about like ratings and things like that,
yeah,
and then they text you during your team play.
Yeah, not with my team. I care about ratings for everybody else, not when my team is playing.
Man, you got to get out there and you got to strut your stuff here this morning. Because very rarely do you get to, like, the Browns, you're very cerebral and like, this is what needs to happen. And whether or not I agree with you or not, it's whatever. And I get emotional about a lot of things. I don't get, this is opposites day. I don't get emotional over Ohio State football.
When you're rooting against them.
No,
like you were last night. You didn't have your Notre Dame stuff on?
I absolutely was not.
You didn't have your Notre Dame hat on?
I absolutely did not. No. My son roots for Ohio State. So we were watching the game together. I want him to do well for X.
When's the last time you've been in the shoe for an Ohio State game?
2008.
And when did you go to a Notre Dame game?
2023.
Oh, that's right.
That's a Ken Carlin
and you
classic.
Were rooting for
Lima
Ohio
classic,
State.
If anything, that's
and
a slippery wizard.
And you were rooting for Ohio State last night.
I wanted.
You weren't rooting against them.
Well, no.
Ohio State's not
them.
A very neutral team where you're like, I can take it or leave it. You either love Ohio State or you want them to die in a car crash.
I'll tell you this. That is a hell of a point. That is a hell of a point you raise. But I mean, I did sit here and guarantee that they were going to win all week last week, did I not? So I had to be pulling for Ohio State to some level, because if I sat there and get, because honestly, the Denver game, we all remember the Denver game, and he shaved his face 3 times. The school children that are at the kindergarten class, like 3 strikes and you're out. You can never guarantee anything again. Like, I'm not pony over here. Like, I do try to say something and have some responsibility behind what I say. So, yeah, in that sense, yeah, I wanted Ohio State to win the game.
I wanted to be right
in my prognostication.
Didn't you feel it was a jinx? Kenny was trying to apply the jinx.
God, no. He didn't. No.
Yeah.
Why would I try to put them a like on them by me being the bad juju of the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Well, you know.
That's not good for the career. That's not good for my psyche.
You know the show would have been 10 times better today if Ryan Day choked that game away.
No.
Yes, you know it would have.
Okay, I would have had 4 hours of people screaming, and Notre Dame would have won their first championship since 1988.
And you would have worn your Notre Dame stuff.
That'd be cool. No, I would not. I'm not going to sit there and troll. I don't like being cussed out by anybody on the phone or online or anything. So, I wouldn't have sat here and worn my Notre Dame stuff.
Ken would have claimed the last 2 national championships, Michigan last year and Notre Dame this year.
It's not true. It's not true. But it's not about me. This is about you today. This is your day. I want you to whoop it up. I don't like subdued you. This is your last bastion of emotional sports is Ohio State. So
you know, it was
whoop
weird.
It up.
It was weird because I end up, first of all, when would I ever watch a game this big by myself, which is where I ended up watching it. Wife was done at halftime. She was feeling pretty good about things. So I'm sitting there by myself, having a few beverages and just wondering how this was going to end, because Ohio State looked in total command there in the second quarter. I mean, they scored on every drive to start out in the first half. You know, Notre Dame had that soul-crushing opening drive. I mean, what was it, 12 minutes? They consumed the play clock, and I'm like, is this going to be the whole game?
No.
We are not going to stop. They literally told you what they were going to do. We're going to run the ball up the middle, and we're going to run our quarterback every single time when we need short yardage. And it worked on that opening drive. And I was looking at that Buckeye sideline. They looked like they were shell-shocked again. It looked just like
situation. It's weird how we see things. I wrote it down, and I had a different observation. I didn't. I think that they were frustrated. I think the front four were frustrated. I mean, you go for it on fourth down a couple times, and you give it up.
They got pushed around.
That left tackle, I did not realize that left tackle was going to come back and play the way he did after the torn pectoral muscle. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God in heaven, that kid's, and I think, is he a redshirt freshman? So they got a little bit of time left with him.
Their line's going to be great next year.
I was like, all right, if Ohio State comes down and scores, and they score relatively with some ease, I go, I'm not worried about this. Go, if they go down and punt, then it's going to play right into Notre Dame's hands. Because I thought Notre Dame in their first drive had to do exactly what they had to do. Slow the game down, put the ball in their hands, but you can't make mistakes like that. You can't, and what I mean by mistakes is like you can't let Ohio State get out in space. You can't do that. And they did, which is a terrible mistake to let them get out in space. And for them to put pressure on Will Howard, Will Howard's is okay with pressure, especially if you're going to play man. And when you're playing man defense and you're going to bring pressure, he's going to find open people. He's got the experience to do it. It's not Riley Leonard under pressure is going to take off and try to run. And his passes were just terrible throughout the night for the most part. I think when you
until late, where all of a sudden he was making some of the biggest plays of the game.
But when you put Ohio State, when you put Will Howard under pressure, he's going to find one of his three receivers. He's going to make you pay to some level, and they got in third and five situations. Notre Dame would send the house, and it just did not work against Will Howard, especially if you're going to play man defense like that. So when I saw that, I did not feel very worried at all, because I'm going, they're not going to be able to stitch together 12 play, or how many ever played drives with 12 minutes like they did at the very beginning of the game. I didn't think that was
going
to happen.
Well, they end up going 2-3 and outs, and those were the only other possessions they had in the first half, because the first quarter was wiped away. They scored the touchdown. Ohio State answered back right after the bell in the second quarter.
Two total possessions in the first quarter.
I mean, that was a nightmare scenario for Ohio State. And that's why I'm sitting there going, why didn't we take the ball? Why didn't we put the pressure on Ohio?
I saw your tweet.
On Notre Dame.
Yeah, I saw you.
And then because Ohio State wins the game, people are like, oh, still think that way? And it's like, yeah, if Ohio State would have just come out and came down the field and scored a touchdown, this game might have been a blowout. Might not have even been competitive. But I'll give credit to Notre Dame. As far as Ohio State, it's so weird thinking about what ended up happening, where Marcus Freeman elects to kick the field goal.
On fourth and goal from the nine.
Yeah. They couldn't do anything. Once they got down there, it looked like they were going to score again, and then they couldn't. And they end up kicking the field goal, and they missed the field goal. So, you know, if they end up scoring a touchdown on that drive, there was some puckering up by Ohio State. I mean, the Jeremiah Smith play was awesome and was a huge, huge Will Howard conversion, but it was very conservative there. That was the one thing, like, if you were to say, do you have any problems with Ryan Day after winning a national championship? Like, I think Urban Meyer probably would have blown out Notre Dame. Like, I feel like if Urban Meyer were the coach, that game would have been a 50.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been close. They definitely took their foot off the gas until they needed that third down. And what a great play. What an absolutely great play it was. They were very creative. I thought Chip Kelly was awesome throughout that game, mixing it up. And they recovered after they were down early. Because that was starting to feel like, they another physical game, and Notre Dame was dominating the line of scrimmage to start out. Luckily, it was sealed after that.
So we played a promo right before the show, and it was you getting into it with a caller over Ryan Day. This is the caller with Lima over Ryan Day. When was this originally?
December 5th.
December 5th. All right, here's the caller about Ryan Day with Anthony. Ed and Avon Lake, you're next up on The Fan.
Anybody that would think about considering firing Ryan Day is out of their mind.
Why on earth would you fire Ryan Day? No. How many more losses in a row do you want? How many more years you want to waste? You're going to waste a $20 million salary team? More resources do you want? Come on, Ed.
Who do you want to coach?
We've named 30 guys. But let's Urban Meyer, Marcus Freeman, Mike Vrabel, Dan Lanning. You ask me a question and you won't listen to the answer to the damn question. Get off the phone.
Hold on. You're unhinged. I'm taking it back today.
No, none of it.
Not a single word.
It was an all-time bad loss. Here's where I was naive. I was naive that they were given a mulligan. Ryan Day was given a mulligan. Think about what we're saying about Will Howard today compared to if the season was just over, it was the BCS era and Ohio State was eliminated. What would the Will Howard recap be for his Ohio State experience?
I don't think people would be texting me all night long talking about the Browns draft him at some point in the draft. And by the way, none of them were
Are you really getting those texts?
Yeah, hell yeah. Not saying to take him number two. No one's saying to take him number two.
Where are they saying to take him?
I've got like three people who are like round four. And then people are just like, can they draft him? Can they draft him? But most people are like, third round, fourth round, somewhere in there. Yeah. It's like, yeah, he'll probably, in a bad draft class, he'll probably go up. They'll probably, 6'4", 230, 235, I think it is. Big body. I don't think that he's like statuesque in a way. I think that, he's twisty up top, if that's even a word you can use for it. Like he can get, it's not where he's just like he can run and he's just like he can move around and do a lot of different things.
I mean, I saw some Howard craziness on social media yesterday.
Well, that's fine. Because
Browns fans are watching these college football games, and because it's the only game in town now when it comes to how the Browns are going to get better. Yeah. They are inflating every player we see. Like, they made Abdul Carter into Myles Garrett based on two plays they saw.
Because they don't want him to take a quarterback.
And he was injured in the game, and he really only made a few plays in that game. They saw that, and they're like, oh, my God, we're going to have the best defensive line in football. Yeah. And I'm like, you're basing that off this? Like, he's good. He's not all-time great good.
We do have some time to talk about Will Howard, and Jack Sawyers are showing up on TV. I do want to ask about Ryan Day. So has people's thoughts of Ryan Day changed? Seems like yours haven't. Your thoughts on Ryan Day haven't.
I gave him all the credit. Really, the response in the Tennessee game and then blowing out Oregon. I mean, I came on here and said he has that locker room. And that was stuff that I was hearing, too, behind the scenes, that those kids never wavered. Like, yeah, they were mad about the Michigan collapse. They couldn't believe it. But, they also use that. They use that as fuel. And it's easy to say, like, every time a team loses a game, now you have a playoff. So the landscape has totally changed forever. You're always – schools like Ohio State are always going to be in this playoff. Notre Dame is always going to be in this playoff. So, you're never going to treat those games the way that I came on the air and treated that game. And I think our fan base and even the rational guys, the Ari Wassermans, the Doug Lemerice, even they were all in agreement with me. They came to my side and they're like, that was embarrassing. That was one of the worst coach games in recent college football history. Nobody was denying that. But what I think I was naive at the time thinking that, well, they can't. I mean, that if they lost that game, how in the world could they roll off four in a row? Well, watch them. Because that's exactly what they did. It was incredible.
Yeah, they really played. If you think about it, like the game against Oregon came in. They were an undefeated team. They looked as good as it could be. There were a lot of people who thought, man, whoever wins this wins the national championship. Then the Texas game, whoever wins this wins the national championship. Then obviously this was the national championship. Like, I don't think there's any real denial whatsoever. Like, you can't look back on it and say, like, well, the best team didn't win because of the playoff or anything like that. Nah, I think you found the best team. I think that it was the perfect gauntlet to lay down to find the best team.
It's just funny to see that number 8 by Ohio State in our first ever playoff. And, like, you're going to look back. This is going to be a really confusing season to explain to a lot of people. And maybe that's how they all are going forward. I don't know. Maybe because the depth of those Southern teams are never going to be what it was, where they just stockpiled everybody else, kind of reminded you of like what Woody Hayes and Bo were doing way back in the day, where they had hoarding all the good players. Like, that's done. So the depth is gone. You have Ohio State to retain their roster is why they spent most of that money. And then you went out and got not only, Downs, you got the center who ended up getting injured from Alabama. And then obviously having Jeremiah Smith, and then Chip Kelly. You know, that was another thing. Like, we keep talking NIL, NIL, NIL. It's like, well, you also went and bought Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
He was a head coach. And you stole one of the great offensive minds in football. That's how desperate you were following that loss. And then they lost to Michigan again. Then they lost to him again in a game that Michigan didn't have their best players. They were totally outmatched. They didn't have a quarterback. So, no, I don't take back anything I said the day after the game. I just should have realized, oh, yeah, you have a playoff now. You have a playoff now. It's a different world that we live in college football.
So Lima takes nothing back. 216-474-0092.
And I get to celebrate a national championship.
Have your thoughts.
It's an amazing spot to be in.
On Ryan Day, have they changed this morning? Do you feel differently about Ryan Day than you did yesterday morning? 216-474-0092. Son celebrated in his room. I sent him upstairs. I said, all right, you watch the rest of the game in your room. Celebrated. I went in there. He was whooping it up, as he should.
He took in the whole thing?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Watch the whole thing.
No school today, right?
No school. It's freezing outside.
Perfect for them.
No school today or tomorrow for the kiddos. A lot of schools have that. No school today or tomorrow because of all the cold weather out there. So Ryan Day, you got to see Ryan Day. He doesn't feel the same way about Ryan Day as you may feel about Ryan Day.
Were you surprised that Ryan Day, after what we had seen a year ago against Notre Dame and his reaction, you know, right afterwards? I mean, this is Ryan Day told everybody, people like me, like, basically, hey, watch me win a national championship. That's exactly what happened. He had the ultimate response to anybody who ever criticized him, and he took it in stride. He seemed to do it with grace and humility. I was a little surprised. I wondered if he was going to be unhinged after the game, and he wasn't.
I kind of wanted him to sound like Ric Flair. I wanted him to call out the haters and losers.
It was an all-time opportunity too.
But I also
you couldn't blame him, right? If he would have.
But he understands, though. This is the beauty of it, and I got to give him a lot of credit. I'm gonna kiss his ass a little bit today because this is outstanding stuff. Is he understands what it takes to get over? It takes his players, and his players love him. See, this is what I think is most frustrating, what has been up until now, because there's no reason to be a frustrated Ohio State fan. But what's frustrating before is that so many people wanted to fire him. They're running away and deleting those social media posts and things like that.
Oh,
they're running
away from those opinions. How do you delete those? Those are great. It tells the story.
They can call out guys like you.
Yeah, but it helps tell the story of a season that I don't think we've ever come close to in college football. What could ever compare to the highs and the lows that Ohio State sustained this year?
You know, you'd say that, but...
Because you never had the chance. You never had the chance to recover from a game like Ohio State-Michigan.
They were so frustrated. The fans were frustrated, and you were, because you wanted to move on from them. And I'll still say it. He could leave right now, and you could still find a coach and put right back him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried.
You probably bring Marcus Freeman over to your sideline, for all I know. You got the money, you have the wherewithal, you have the power. So many fans wanted to move on from him. And then you hear just how, like, that's not a great idea. The players love him so much.
Right.
And you see what happened with Alabama. Now things change. You're going to go through a year. When you lose a coach, you're going to go through a transition year. Happened with Alabama. They won 9 games this last year. Michigan finished the year on an up note, obviously, but they had themselves obviously a down year after Jim Harbaugh ran away from justice to the NFL. You might deal with that, but I think that a lot of people were frustrated because it's like they wanted to move on to someone else, but the players love him so much. He can't go out there and get personal with it because he knows it is his championship. He's the one who gets the statue. Do they do statues at Ohio State of coaches, or is that just an Alabama thing?
We do all sorts of stuff. We got Buckeye Grove. Yeah.
He'll get something named after him. More than one thing, less than 100. Maybe more than 100 throughout the state. Who the hell knows? But he'll have something named after him. And he also knows that it's the players that get the job done. So while I would have wanted him to go out there and cut a Ric Flair-style promo and call out everybody, the haters and losers and everything like that, he wasn't going to do that because he knew that it was like Jeremiah Smith gets the job done, not Ryan Day. Ryan Day does his best to put him in that position, but it's also the assistant coaches that help get the job done.
But
so
also
it was a very smart thing by Ryan Day.
But you couldn't blame him. There's never been a coach that has attained like that winning percentage, that dominance that Ryan Day has had over just about everybody with a handful of a few schools in a few games throughout his career at Ohio State. Nobody has ever had that kind of success but has been met with that kind of criticism. It's never been close. You've never seen anything like it. Well, so if ever there was a guy who could do it, it would have been Ryan Day.
And he also knows this. As I mean, there's inside football guys. Nick Saban has, this is like two diatribes that Nick Saban has gone on in a pregame about people calling for Ryan Day's job and how silly they are. And really admonishing those who wanted Ryan Day's job. He also knows Kirk Herbstreit's going to speak up for him. And he knows whatever you might think of Kirk Herbstreit here over the last couple of years, Herbstreit's going to speak up for him. And he did yesterday. It talked about what Ryan Day has gone through in getting to the top.
I'm a friend of his, very objective, and try to be as fair as I can be. But I hear the stories behind the curtain. I know what he and his wife and his family go through. And it's tough, man. It's tough to be a coach at a premium school where you're expected to win every game. He handled it with such class, and he gets on top of the mountain.
Do you want to hear Kirk Herbstreit get emotional?
Yeah, it seemed like he was big-time emotional after this game.
Kirk Herbstreit was in his feelings after the game.
You know, they went to hell and back. I mean, we can try to make this sound soft. I talked to these players. I talked to these coaches. I know what they faced after that Michigan game. I know the pain. And I know that a lot of people thought, the hell with this guy. Who else can be the guy? And I know what that did, to have to put that away and not be, you know, like, who are you to question? Like, he just handled it, took the high road, didn't say anything, went out, got his team ready to play four games, and they won it. You know, 20 years from now, that's what I'll remember, is how they kept it together just by themselves and had to fight out of that dark hole that they were in. And it's pretty special to think. It's a great example for all of us to learn about adversity, and we want to quit. It's a great example, not just for football, but in life, about getting through the tough times. And the good times are coming ahead, and that's what this is.
I think it's very odd for a guy like him, because he's let the quote-unquote lunatic fringe get to him. And it seemed like it got very personal with the Tennessee game, with, you know, how many people he said were wearing orange and going after the fans over the final, 6 minutes left to go, and he's given a talking to the fans. It's gotten very personal. However, outside of the fans, he's remained, you can tell he's remained close to the program in some fashion. And so
he has a son that's in the program. So I know he doesn't play, but think about that.
He feels like he has to stand up for the program in this moment, which he is.
I think there were Buckeye fans last night that had been railing on Kirk Herbstreit that didn't know that he was kind of close with Ryan Day. I think they thought Ryan Day and him were feuding or didn't like each other. And it's like, again, he's the biggest analyst in the game. His kid plays for Ohio State, or is on the Ohio State, you know, roster, and he's got another kid who just committed to Michigan. It's a bizarre experience all the way around, and the lunatic fringe basically drove him out of Columbus, you know, down to Tennessee. I know he relocated again in Southern Ohio, but it's been a wild ride for Hershey. It's so bizarre to see how many fans jumped on him, and you got, like, you know, the radio host down in Columbus jumping on him.
Well,
it's very, very weird.
But you that's the world of college football. Every fan base has a lunatic fringe. And if you don't want the lunatic fringe coming after you at some point, then don't commentate on college football. So there's part of it. It's like, well, you're going to have to deal with some of the slings and arrows that come with it, even if you played at Ohio State. It doesn't matter about that. But for Ryan Day, I thought it was very smart of him to not. I wanted him to, but I thought it was very smart of him to not get personal yet. I mean, he could be asked a question about it and say, you know what, the players, they did this, this, and this, but, and then he can go after, if he wants to go after one of the doubters, then fine.
It was just so interesting how subdued he was, considering how we've seen him be so emotional after certain games. And last night, it was just like, all right, yeah, won my national championship. I got that monkey off the back.
Well, it also might have been a little bit surreal to him. I mean, because you lose that game against Michigan. And I go, I don't know how he went to sleep. I mean, it was Saturday. We're there on Monday. I go, I don't know how he fell asleep after that. Only if he were to pass out, I can't imagine being able to fall asleep. I mean, you're at home. You know that the fans are upset. You hear them booing. You have the whole flag thing that happens. Jack Sawyer is beside himself. And it's like, how are you guys going to get this thing together and go out and play a playoff? You're going to be in the playoff, but how are you guys going to be able to get any of this stitched back together? And then the way that they came out in the first two games, the way that I felt they had that weird, stupid, where they get in their own way type of game that a lot of teams are going to have in a playoff. They found a way to get over that against Texas. And then, you know, held out and did their job against Notre Dame here. Notre Dame's quality football team that didn't give up. I have to give so much credit to the way that they got those guys to buy in, because before it was like, hey, you got all the talent in the world, but do you have heart? Clearly, it takes heart to win this.
Also, and this is weird because the fans, we can get emotional. We can go crazy. We can be sore winners because that's normally what happens. In this case, they represented the university with class. Like, it was a classy, matchup. Both schools were so nice to each other. They were helping each other out. The cheap shots were few and far between during the game. And Ohio State wins the national championship. If ever there was a team that could have done some silly stuff after the game to be sore winners, it could have been them, given what the Michigan fans said was, okay, well, you had a chance to stop them, and you guys didn't stop them. So, yeah, Michigan gets to start fights in the stadium and plant flags and, you know, to the point where players are getting maced. They didn't do any of that. They just calmly won the championship. Here's the football, Mr. Official. We're just going to go win a national championship. A little bit different than what you saw out of Michigan the last few years. My university has class. It's so beautiful to see, Kenny. It's so beautiful. You win the game and you act like you've been there before.
Does Lima like? Or does Lima know like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? No like.
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
A cavalcade of likes after last night. Ohio State brings home another national championship.
I'm alive.
Will Howard, 17 of 21. He damn near played perfect. He just missed Jeremiah Smith on that third down, which would have iced the game, I think, a lot earlier. He totally biffed that throw. Other than that, guy was awesome. He had the huge throw down the field to Jeremiah Smith on third down. The 56-yard bomb, that was big. And it was just an unbelievable game. To the point, Kenny, where you were getting texts about Will Howard getting drafted by the Cleveland Browns.
Not number two or not in the first round. Nobody was crazy. But it was, like they could draft him. They could draft him, couldn't they? Like, yeah, why not? Big body quarterback, bad draft class, might shoot up the draft class, yeah.
Lima likes.
Quinshon Judkins, 11 carries, 100 yards. It was a big question going into the game. How would Ohio State do in the running game against Notre Dame? And they had a lot of nice runs. A lot of really smart way that they attacked Notre Dame as well.
Yeah.
I think Notre Dame was just playing on their heels, especially those first three drives, because they hit them with so many of those short passes. You know, first half, how many balls were even thrown by either team further than 10 yards down the field?
Ohio State had a few for first downs, but that was about it. Yeah. Didn't really have to go that far, but I just thought it was a very nice, effective day for Will Howard. I thought it was a very nice, effective day for him, for Riley Leonard. I know he made a couple of big plays later, but I mean, some of the stuff early, it was like, oh gosh, this is not very good. These are fluttery passes and not good.
Lima likes.
Now, Ryan Day claims a national championship. He earned it with the playoff run for the ages. They beat all these top five teams. How many did they end up beating in the season? Like six? After, remember, that was the big bugaboo, winning the top five games. And he did it and continued to do it and continued to do it. The only negative for Ryan Day at this point.
Lima no likes.
What the hell happened after the game underneath are they in the Mercedes-Benz?
I have watched this on repeat here during the break and up until now.
Listen to this crash of the golf cart that Ryan Day is getting escorted to and from the press conference.
Ryan Day, you deserve it, brother. Thank you. It's okay.
Come on.
Back up.
We're close, you guys. Come on. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody okay?
Good?
You deserve it, brother.
This woman drove the 8-seated golf cart right into the wall. Right into the wall.
It's okay.
Looks like you broke the toe out and everything on that. That thing's going to be... That's totaled. Well, it's not totaled.
It did break the axle.
Yeah.
Yeah. don't know if these things got toes on them, but yeah, that thing is messed up. They ain't getting that thing out of there, dude.
Yeah, well, once you bend the frame, you know.
It is wedged in there. Police officer tries lift it, and you realize how heavy those things are.
It's an 8-seater.
Yes. Yes. He's trying to help out, and Ryan Day is just sitting there like, are you blanking serious? He looks so mad. Meanwhile, his players, he's got Will Howard behind him, is laughing the entire time. But he absorbed the brunt of it.
Oh, my gosh.
He almost like fell out of the golf cart, and he's staring at this woman like, and I don't know if that woman works for Ohio State or works for the, you know, for the.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. But she is laughing too. That's the thing. He's the only one that is like severely annoyed that this went down.
That is solid gold. I feel. I don't know why he's. I don't. Why is he annoyed?
Well, he took it. He jolted.
He was immediately there. He took the most impact.
Yes.
Yeah. It was his side.
It was very startling.
It was his side.
I think he assumed this girl could drive a golf cart. Why? Successfully?
What are you saying? She can't?
I thought everybody assumed that they could drive a golf cart.
This woman couldn't. Oh my That's gosh. What it sounds like when that woman drove the golf cart.
It is. It is. Done. Done. She doesn't know what to do. She's like getting on the gas again.
Well, it's broken. She doesn't know it's broken.
Oh,
it's gone.
My gosh.
Clearly an inexperienced golf cart driver, this woman. And it's not your standard golf cart. It is, like Owen mentioned.
Well, the wheelbase here is not your normal wheelbase. I'm going to look that up.
No, she was going to fly around the stadium. She was hot to trot on that moment, threw it in drive. Off we go! Whipping her up. Boom! Into the wall.
Down there.
Nope, now you got to walk.
But she get like, Ryan Day's like, is somebody going to fix this? And she just gets off. She's like, all right, on to the next one. I guess we're walking. I guess we're hoofing it today.
It's incredible.
She clearly was never a golf cart girl on a golf course.
Oh,
never
my
been
gosh.
Hit on by the leagues.
It is, well, maybe it's a bigger golf cart. Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Well, no, because if you do the beverage cart, it's a bigger cart anyway. You're basically
way
driving
down by
a small.
The ice.
Yeah, you're. Yeah, so you're. Yeah, this isn't excusable. Had to find a way.
All right. Meanwhile, we had obviously a slew of NFL this weekend. Hey, give it up to
Lima Likes.
Owen's in Cloud 9. Normally, I would have done a no like, but congratulations, Owen. It was a successful football weekend for the show as Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it seven straight AFC championship games? That's stupid.
They're calling it the Kansas City Invitational or the Chiefs Invitational, which. I don't like hearing it. After that disgusting display over the weekend of whatever those penalties were, that was disgusting.
Lima no like.
Yeah, Troy Aikman didn't like it at all. Listen to his reaction to another bait. He was baiting the officials over the weekend.
Mahomes dropped it, able to get it and take off to his right and then slide down. They're going to throw a flag on that.
Personal foul. Unnecessary roughness. Defense number 39.
Oh, come on. I could not disagree with that one more. And he barely gets hit. That's the second penalty now that's been called against the Texans. They've got to address it in the offseason. You can't, as a quarterback, run around and play games with defenders and then be able to draw a penalty.
Well, Tom Pelissero put out a video the next morning of them trying to explain the rule, and I'm still going, it was like 5 minutes long, and they're 4 minutes long, this video, and I'm going, he found a loophole, Mahomes found a loophole in the rule, and that they're going to throw a flag every time. Walt Anderson was trying to explain it as best he could, and I'm going, man, like, you got Troy Aikman upset, like, at one point, folks, like, there might be some younger people listening, guys. Troy Aikman, they basically had to scoop his brains out with a soup ladle at one point. That's how hard of hits he took during his career, and then he's up there doing games, and he is flabbergasted at these
calls.
Normally
these guys defend the quarterbacks at all costs. He's not doing that at all. How often do you hear an organic, come on, like during the game?
Well, they have it. Aikman and Mahomes have a little bit of a rivalry.
I didn't know.
Because after Mahomes won the first Super Bowl, I believe people were like, well, he's already better than Troy Aikman. Reitman's like, I got three Super Bowls. What are you talking about? Well, now Mahomes has three Super Bowls and going for a fourth.
Those people aren't wrong. But if I were Troy Aikman, I'm a proud man. So, you know, I guess you would not like to hear any of those things.
I mean, Owen, do you feel bad about getting these calls?
No, not at all.
A little bit, just a little bit. I mean,
shouldn't none whatsoever.
I mean, if you're, I mean, there's gonna be asterisks now. The more you guys continue to win,
that's fine. It just never not been to the AFC Championship game.
How stupid is that?
Golly. As a starting quarterback,
it hurts the credibility though of the NFL.
Boy, that's interesting. That's bad. Save that thought. Save that. I want to explore that because
that's bad.
Think about what it's done to the rest of the quarterbacks. Like how we talk about Lamar Jackson, who's amazing, and Josh Allen. If Josh Allen can't beat him this week, we're going to be trying to treat those guys like they're slugs when they're just playing against Patrick Mahomes. Like if they were in the NFC, they'd be in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like Lamar Jackson would be in the Super Bowl if he were in the NFC.
Yeah.
He would have been to Super Bowls over the last
year. A lot of quarterbacks would be better if Tom Brady never existed. A lot of quarterbacks would be better if Joe Namath never existed.
Tom Brady, they had years where, I mean, he went 10 years between Super Bowls.
Well, there's a reason I don't like Philip Rivers and you do, Ken, but like if Tom Brady didn't exist, Philip Rivers probably wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
at some
what
point.
Are we saying?
Yeah. Yeah, well, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Lima Lights.
Quickly, Cavs domination. I know we'll get to them later in the show. Just making it a fun MLK day to remember. They just toyed around without Evan Mobley, just toying around with Phoenix Suns.
The Dan seats were back, and you know he was not letting it. Matt Ishbia.
With Matt Ishbia, yeah. Yes. Yes. One last note.
Lima no life.
Sad news yesterday. Another, feels like we've been doing this every week, but another Cleveland broadcasting giant, a legend, a pioneer. Big Chuck Shadowski passing away over the weekend. He was 90, Kenny, and that is somebody. If you're a true Clevelander, and this was really what separated the true Clevelanders from the fake Clevelanders, whether or not you acknowledge Big Chuck and Lil Jon as an iconic show in Northeast Ohio. We had somebody on the radio once who didn't.
Yeah,
like, why is this a big show? Well, you're not from Cleveland.
We came running in here and go, don't do that. Shut up. Stop. Hey, go to break right now. Go to break. It's like an episode of Frasier.
Hit the delay.
And we're like, going, don't stop saying this. He's going, what? If I do the impression, you'll know.
Yeah.
But,
he didn't know.
He did not know. He didn't understand it. And that's a. That's an institution, you know, the way that some people can, at certain places, can say whatever and you understand where that person's from. Big Chuck, Lil Jon, Gullardi, Big Chuck Houlihan.
Yep.
90 years old. It was a wonderful, creative life. And I wish you would have got to meet him. Never met him.
I still have the VHSs.
You got the VHSs?
Yeah.
I never knew you had the VHSs.
Yeah, he had the best ofs. They had best ofs, and they had so much material. Like, it's crazy to think on that kind of budget, what they were producing, the amount of sketch comedy they were doing out of Cleveland, Ohio. You always heard about Second City. You always heard about these other places, New York and L.A. Mm-hmm. and Chicago. Cleveland was the hotbed at one point.
I liked the extending of Parma Place, certain ethnic, so on. The fantastic stuff, yes. Is that it for about last night? Lima Likes. I do it all the time, and I'm sorry about that.